Father God, it is that freedom that we feel from you because, God, you have set us free. God, we have come to you and we have bowed our knee and we have asked, God, that you would forgive us. And you're such a gracious God. And this morning, it is all about the graciousness of who you are. God, how you have reached down and you have provided a way in which we can come to you. And so we are so grateful. And so that song, God, being set free is absolutely the truth. We are set free, and we thank you for it. Bless our time, God, today. Open our ears, open our minds, God, to grasp what you have for us today. We ask your blessing and anointing on this service. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, it is so good to see our youth here today as well. That's not like they haven't been here before, but, you know, when you see them in a foreign country, and you see them in different settings, it's good to see them here and feel like I can connect a little bit better. So thank you for allowing me to be a part of your life. Had to think about just getting back. We got back Wednesday night, so it feels good to be home. I also need to say that I absolutely enjoyed my time in Nicaragua. Thank you for allowing us to go, Marilyn and I. And we enjoyed it with the youth. We enjoyed it with Larry and Dot. Larry and Dot were, man, they were a godsend. We'd get ourselves caught in a pickle if it weren't for Larry and Dot at times. People would come talk to me, and I had no clue what they're saying. And so Larry would bail me out. But I believe that the effect from this trip that we went on is something that we have to process for a while. But I don't think that we can go on a trip like we went and not be affected. And I'm not going to say a lot about our trip because we want to take care of that next week. But, you know, I thought about coming home and there was maybe a little bit of a spring in my step as we were looking forward to coming home. And partly was because of the language barrier. We couldn't talk. We couldn't share. We found out a few words, at least I did. I found out a few words and were able to communicate in some ways. But I tell you what, there was a thrill. There was a moment of thrill for me. We were at a resort and Marilyn and I got to dinner and we were like three or four in line and we're hearing all the Spanish being spoken out around us. And all of a sudden this, I don't know, maybe 9-10 year old girl comes up behind us and she looks over to her brother and goes, "Hey, go tell mom and dad, we're like only four or five behind, you know, in this line." And it took a little bit to settle in and go, oh, wait a minute, that's English. You know, I can talk to her. So we turned around and her parents came and we were able to have a really good conversation. Didn't realize how foreign I felt until I went to Nicaragua. But what I really, really appreciated is we were able to share in two worship services in Nicaragua, two different churches, two different styles, two different communities. But here's the cool part, and I know you guys already know this, but here's the cool part. We serve the same God. We worship the same God. Even though maybe I couldn't understand everything that was going on, Larry and Dot did a good job of interpreting as the pastor was preaching. But even though we didn't hear and gather everything, we knew that we were worshiping the same Lord. We got brothers and sisters all around the globe. And so that was, again, just a really great encouragement for me as we went. And they're definitely praying for us. But I think if I were to boil it down, one of the things that made me really excited about coming back was knowing that today was a day in which Lauren and Ida were going to be baptized. And the reason that that's so significant for me is the fact that, you know, here are two young people who are standing and they're coming forward and saying that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And they're not ashamed of it. And I don't know what that does for you, but that stirs something deep within my heart, and I hope it stirs within your heart. Because that's exactly where you and I were when we first accepted, like Gary talked about it. You know, this understanding, we come to the Lord and we accept the Lord, and we come to the day of baptism where we make it public. And I'm excited about that. I hope your heart is stirred, and I hope that you're filled with joy as well. One of the things that I thought about this morning is the early church and how the early church brought in members and they would baptize them and they would become the church or join the church. But if you read in Acts in chapter 2, you see what they did together. They studied the word together. They fellowshiped together. They had communion together. They prayed together. And what is so cool about that is when they did that, you read it in the chapters later, is that the ground that they were standing on, or the room in which they were standing on, was shaken. And my prayer this morning is that God gets a hold of us at a level that we're shaken, that our lives cannot stay the same, that we have got to be able to express what God has done for us, and that we're transformed. And I just want to share a witness of Lauren and Ida. I spent time with them. And I can tell you this, that God has got a hold of them. And God has been doing a work in their lives. And for that, I am so, so very grateful. I will share one little story regarding Nicaragua in a generic way, because it relates to this morning. This idea of my title being Walking Together. That's what we as a church are called to do. We walk with each other. We do our church together. We read the word. We study it. We commune together. We pray together. What I found was really a neat story is there's this young man named William who was a part of the church in Matagalpa that we went to. I hope I said that right. Did I say it right? Okay. So it was a church that we went to, and William would follow us around. I mean, not follow us, but he joined us as a youth group. And he would eat with us, he would pray with us, he'd work with us, he'd joke around with us and everything like that. Well, the one day, as we were together with William, I asked William, I said, William, who's your family? And this is what was so cool. William just said, this is my family. The church was his family. The church had spoken into his life. The church had walked alongside of William. And I'm not going to get into his story. Hopefully next week we'll share the rest of his story. But that is what the picture of the church is all about. That's where I got my title this morning, this understanding that we as a body walk together. We do life together. God didn't put it together to where we were all by ourselves. And so here is William, cared for by the church, encouraged, allowing him, and he'd only been, I think, at the church maybe 3 or 4 months, but allowing him to speak into their lives as well. And so if you want a picture, that for me is a picture of the church. Well, because this is baptismal morning, I'm not trying to put you as a congregation aside, but I told Lauren and Ida that I'd like to just talk with them this morning. Maybe not preach, but just share from my heart. Because today is a big day for them. It's a big day for the church. It's a day to be celebrated. But Lord and Ida, you've got to know that there's been a tremendous joy in my heart meeting with you guys. Studying the word together in our home. Praying together. Opening up God's word and asking questions. And you know, I walked away from those times together totally encouraged. And here's why. Because you began to share from your heart who Jesus was to you. You began to share with us what God has done in your life. And guys, as much as you said you were encouraged, we were encouraged. Marilyn and I walked away so totally encouraged. Here's part of what I see. And Lauren, you just told me that this week, you just finished reading through the entire Bible for the very first time. That is so awesome. There are many believers that don't do that. Yeah, yeah. There are many believers that have gone through their life and have not read through the Bible. And I know you are on a fast pace to read through as well. Those are encouragements. And what I see is I see a hunger for God. I see an absolute hunger and a thirst for God. And my encouragement to you today is keep reading God's word. Keep doing it. Keep praying together. Keep searching, because God's word is what transforms us. It's God's presence and his Holy Spirit that speaks through his word to us. And that speaks truth into our hearts, guys. And so it was really of a great encouragement for me to see that. And it reminded me of my text. And here's why. You know, Paul in Hebrews 12, he talks about this great cloud of witnesses that were surrounding the believers. And I believe surrounds us today. I don't think this is just for there. I believe it is here today as well. So it's a great picture of us walking together, but having this great cloud of witnesses that walk beside us and encourage us. And one of the things that I thought about because Paul refers to this life and this journey with God as being a race. And so one of the things that I was thinking about is that often a marathon runner, our life is not just a sprint to the end, it's a marathon. So I had to think about a marathon runner and how that he is out there after he leaves sort of the Colosseum or the place, his starting point, he's out on the road alone. And he winds up at times, I'm sure, feeling alone, feeling as if, well, who really cares? Feeling maybe he wants to quit. Does anybody really know what's going on in his life? But here's the cool part, if you've ever watched the Olympics, is when this guy makes the corner, he's made it through his whole marathon, and he turns the corner and he enters into the stadium. And all of a sudden, the people in the stadium see him, and they begin to cheer. And the great part of that whole thing is that there is this tiredness sort of goes away. His feeling of being alone goes away. There's this re-energizing, this surge pumps through him. And he begins to say, man, I can do this. And suddenly, again, he's not tired anymore. But it's because of the people who are encouraging him and pushing him on and saying, man, you can do that. You can walk this road. And so I want you to take just that picture and bring it into today. That's what the church needs to be. And that's what the church is as we walk with each other. A place where Paul says we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Some of the things that I thought about this week as I went through this text is, what are the witnesses? What does it mean by being a witness? Well, I like definitions, so I actually went through and I defined what a witness is. A witness is someone who gives or serves as evidence of what they had seen. So if we're going back to the race and the guy enters into the Colosseum and he finishes the race and he wins it, and people said, well, who won? Well, this guy won. How do you know? Well, I was there. I saw it. That is being a witness. Well, here's what I see with Paul is saying to us with all these witnesses. Those witnesses are saying, as you are seeing people around you today, they are going to witness your public confession that Christ is your Lord. And they're going to say, I was there. I saw it. And I can build on Lauren and Ida. I can encourage them. But here's the other part, that if we look at it from a spiritual side, this witness is them looking into the lives of others and saying, I see the evidence of Christ in you. I see the evidence of Christ living in you. And I stand here as a witness, and I want to bring encouragement and cheer you on in that. Lauren and Ida, I want to say here that I stand as a witness to this congregation. And I see the evidence of Christ living in you. I absolutely see the evidence of Christ. And I want to encourage you. And I want to tell you and commit to you that, guys, I am willing to walk with you and walk alongside of you to bring whatever encouragement that needs to be. But I want people to know that I see the evidence of Christ in your life. And part of what makes me say that, not only because of the Bible studies and the things that we've gone through and the conversations that we've had, but you know, I sat in your chair 45 years ago, and I sat there as a 12-year-old being ready to be baptized. And I know that the confession that you're about to make, that Christ is Lord of your life, you made that confession, but you're doing it in a public setting. I'm here to tell you that I know that you're going to find opposition, that Satan's going to come against you. You're going to be tested. And I'm telling you that I am committed to walk with you, to encourage you during that time. I want you to know that. And you can't imagine what you this morning are doing to this congregation, because we walk alongside. We see the fire of Christ burning within you. We see that presence, and that encourages us. That ignites us as well as we walk with you. And so what you're doing in a public setting is not only confessing Christ, but you're bringing encouragement to this congregation. And so know that, first of all, that I see that in your life. But second of all, that you are a testimony not only to Christ, but your testimony to this community that Christ lives within. And so I want to encourage you with that. Well, as I thought about in Hebrews, who are these people that Paul is talking about? This great cloud of witnesses, who are they? And for me, as I began to study and I looked through chapter 11, is called the Hall of Faith. You know, it's all those guys in the Old Testament, all the way up through the New Testament, who had stood the test of time. And I'm telling you right now, those are the guys that is talking about this great cloud of witnesses. We're talking about Abel. We're talking about, you know, Abraham and Sarah and Noah and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and even Rahab and Gideon. All those guys and those ladies who have walked this path has sort of stood in your shoes, who have walked that journey. They are saying to you that there's going to be times of discouragement. There's going to be times where you're going to feel alone. But here's what I walk away from. They want you to know that don't give up. The journey is worth it. Don't walk away from it. Be continued in your steadfast walk and your hunger and thirst for God. Because that's what they did, even though they walked through some pretty heavy stuff. But they endured. They persevered. They didn't give up. And so Paul goes on to say that we are to run our race with perseverance. That's with determination. That's with stubbornness. Now, I don't know if Ida thinks you're stubborn or not, Lauren, but that's a stubbornness that you need to have, that you are not going to give up and that you're going to serve the Lord with all that you have. And the second thing that I want you to remember is that this race is not something that is done by yourself, that you are walked alongside of, and we walk hand in hand with you. I had to think. I wonder if Noah were to speak to you, if Noah were to look at you, Lauren, and say, hey, hang in there. Be faithful. There's going to be deep water. There's going to be arcs to build, right? But the journey is worth it. God is faithful. He's right on time. He's one that says, just persevere. Finish strong. Those are the ones that are cheering you on here this morning. Not only in this congregation, but those in the past. The examples that you have had through family, those are the ones as well that are encouraging you. When I look through Hebrews, in fact, in Hebrews 11, there's another verse that came to me. Those people that are the cloud of witnesses, Scripture says that it was through faith that they conquered. And when they walked this way, their weaknesses were turned to strengths. That's Hebrews 11, 34, 33 and 34. So they walked by faith, and that faith allowed them to conquer. But it was their weakness that was turned to strength. And so the reality of it is I'm sure Noah felt so inadequate in building the ark and following what God wanted him to do. But the reality of it is he understood God's plan. He understood that if he allowed God to use him in spite of his inadequacies, in spite of his weaknesses, that his faith was deepened. And that he was also, that God's faithfulness was made evident to everyone. Can you imagine the watching world who has got, God told Noah to build this ark and it's in a dry land. They've never seen rain before. And yet Noah was faithful. And in the end, people realized and understood that God was faithful, that God promised those things and it came to pass. So I want to pass on to you that not only do they walk alongside of us and encourage us, but we can live by their example. You know, they followed through and blindly, so to speak, with faith. And so that's what I want to encourage you with as well this morning, is that your faith will be deepened and that God's faithfulness will be made evident in your life. The question is, how did they walk so close to God? And I think one of the things that Paul reveals in Hebrews here, chapter 12, he says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. If a marathon runner doesn't look to the end, if he looks only in this moment and all the stumbling that's going on and all the pain that he might be going through, the temptation is to give up. But when he looks to the end and he looks and runs his race with the end in mind, that's when he's definitely faithful and he is successful. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says this, so then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thanksgiving. I already said this to you, but I want to just reaffirm it. Guys, the way that we stay strong is staying connected. Staying connected to God, staying connected to his word, staying connected to those who are bringing support and encouragement to you. So that's what I want to encourage you with those words. Here's why. I said earlier that when we make a stand that says, God is my Lord and my Savior, that Satan will come against us and try to throw things at us, right? Try to trip us up and discourage us and deceive us. I encourage you to run aware and to run prepared. Colossians 2:8, the following verse says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." God has given you a discerning heart and a discerning spirit. Discern what is right and what is wrong, but also bring others to come into that discernment with you, and you will be successful. God will empower you through His Spirit to do that. I love Paul's words, and I'll close here. Paul's words were this, after he was at house arrest in Rome, and he's facing trial and death. Paul said to Timothy, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." It's not how we start this race, guys. It's how we finish. And I want to close with this picture in mind for you. And I'm not trying to be, I'm just going to use the picture. When Jesus was baptized, his heavenly Father looked down and he said these words to Jesus. And I believe they're very appropriate because I see God looking down on you guys today. And God said this, "You are my son, you're my daughter, whom I love. And with you, I'm well pleased." I believe those are the words that God uses today. When we are faithful and obedient to his word and to his calling he's placed on us, God says, "I'm well pleased." He calls us sons and daughters. What a great name, right? What a great feeling of being a part of a family. And so those words I want to leave with you as an encouragement. Let's pray. God, today, I thank you for days just like this. I thank you, Father, that you have allowed this picture, this symbol of baptism, to speak so deeply to us. Because, God, just as your Son, Jesus, died on the cross and was buried, we are buried with Christ as we go underneath the water in immersion, Father, in baptism. We're buried with him. But just as Christ, through the power of your Spirit inside, created a power to become victorious over death, God, you have given us the power to overcome the old person in our lives, to overcome the old man in our lives, and to be raised out of this water, Father, in newness of life, to walk in a new way. Father, my prayer today is that you would again cover Lauren and Ida today. God, as they make this commitment, but as they walk through the water and symbolically understand that they are dying to the old man and they are living in new life to you. I pray, Father, for your protection, but I ask as well, God, that you would encourage, that you would empower and strengthen them as they go. Father, we love you and we know that you truly, truly love us. We give this time, Father, into your hands. We ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to take a time where the worship team will lead us in another song, and then we'll move into baptism.
To the river I am going, bringing sin.
Often said that baptism, as we come to baptism, is not salvation. We understand that. We understand it as a public confession that we've already made of Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's a command. God says to go and make disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The other part of it is that we already come to a day like today. Everyone who gets baptized has already come, already joining a more important congregation, and that's a congregation that has no boundaries, and it's a church that's filled with the followers of Jesus Christ. So I've asked both Lauren and Ida to share a little bit this morning before we walk through the questions, and so I think I'll let them do that at this point.
Morning, everybody. Thanks for coming, and just want to thank God to have the opportunity to still do this, and I want to thank everybody for all the prayers and family and everything. I really appreciate it. And I guess for me, the first time was it was about close to 8 years ago. I was at a low point in life and broken down, and that's when I was the first time that I asked Jesus to come in and save me and live in my heart. So, since then, it was just a slow journey, a struggle journey to try to change life and live better and live for Him instead of myself. So the other day I had just a verse that struggling a little bit, trying to have confidence or wasn't sure which way to go or whatever. Then I prayed to God that He would guide me and put a shield over me and make sure I'm on His path. And the very next morning it was cool that verse popped up on my phone. First thing I read that morning, this was the verse. It was 2 Samuel 22:31. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. Mm-hmm. So that was good for me. So I guess that brings me to today. So, yeah. And on another note, I wasn't really, I didn't finish it all by myself reading the Bible through. She finished it before I did, so she was pushing me forward. So I just wanted to say that. Here's Ida.
Hi, everybody. I wanted to thank God for bringing me here today. About 7 years ago, I was at a low point. I lost my brother, and I tried taking it all in myself. So I just asked God to come in my life and help me through it. I gave it all to Him.
You know, our journeys may all look different. The end is the same. We come to Him at different places and different times in our lives. We're also taking into membership Kerm and Pauline Stutzman, so I'm going to ask them to stand, and we're going to walk through a few questions, and then we'll move through our baptism. So I'll begin with you guys, and then I'll move down to you. Do you admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the only Savior from sin? And do you put your trust in Him and promise to follow Him as Lord of your life? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, the giver of life? Do you accept the Word of God as guide and authority for your life? Are you willing to give and receive counsel in the congregation? And are you ready to participate in the mission of the church? We use the congregation to have an opportunity to respond, and so we're going to put that on the screen. And I'd love for us to say it all together. A commitment. This is not just a one-way commitment. This is a commitment that we have made to the congregation as well. So we say it together. As we now receive you into the fellowship of the church, we make this covenant with you as we renew our own covenant with God, to bear each other's burdens, to assist in the times of need, to share our gifts and possessions, to forgive as Christ has forgiven us, to support each other in joy and sorrow, and in all things to work for the common good, thus making known Christ's presence among us to the glory of God. As we unite with each other now, may we all be united with Christ our Lord. God, again, as we walk to this point, we thank you. We thank you for the way that you've walked with Lauren and Ida. And God, the calling that you've placed in their hearts and their obedience. So God, as we walk through this symbolic, again, the baptism, but it's so important. God, we ask that you would just meet us in the water and that you'd touch us and move in a mighty way, God. Thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, those that were going to help with the baptism, I invite you to come forward. First, Ida, I baptize you upon the confession of your faith, that you have made that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. So now I baptize you in the water in the name of the Father and the Son, whose name is Jesus, and in the Holy Spirit. May He baptize you with the Holy Spirit from on high. Blessings to you. Lauren, I baptize you upon the confession of your faith, that you have made that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, whose name is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. May He baptize you with His Spirit from on high. Lord, blessings.
If you would all stand and join us. In this time of desperation, all we know is doubt and fear. There is only one foundation. We believe. We believe. In this broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He's conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than songs we sing, and in our weakness and temptation, we believe
in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given.
Able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before ages, all ages, and now forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.